This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Okay, guys, I am probably one of the most accident-prone people on the planet. You can blame it on many things, bad luck, poor spatial perception, but it all results in the same thing. Bree can injure herself literally anywhere, anytime. Take, for instance, last week, I was plucking my eyebrows, people, and I stabbed myself in the hand. Next thing I know, I am bleeding everywhere going, what the heck just happened? But luckily for me, I had some Active Skin Repair on hand, just one spray, and it felt so much better. By the next day, it was not red, not sore. It was fantastic. I love this stuff. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, and since it's all natural, non-toxic, it's perfect for people like me with sensitive skin. It works by utilizing hydrochloric acid, which mimics a natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients that are so safe and clean that it can be used from the youngest member of your family all the way up to the oldest, most accident prone like me, you can have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. So visit www.activeskincarerepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order by using the code NOGUILT. That's www.activeskinrepair.com. Use the code NOGUILT to get 20% off your order.
As a female musician, you're told not to write about motherhood.
Really?
Absolutely.
Why? Well, what's the story behind that?
Oh, because it's like extremely uncool.
It doesn't go in the vibe.
Yeah, a man can get away with kind of saying that he's a dad, but a woman cannot. If you think about it, what songs about motherhood do you know?
Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I'm your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by the lovely Bree Tucker.
Why, hello, hello, everybody. How are you?
We have such a good one for you today, but you may not recognize her name, but I guarantee you're going to recognize this.
I did the cooking and the cleaning and the groceries and the laundry, fed the cat and the dog, and someone stole my coffee, bought a gift for your mother that you probably won't like, paid a bill, wiped a butt, broke up a couple fights. Then I just about lost my mind because we both took the kids to the park, and someone said to you, you are such a good dad. You are such a good dad.
I love that song. I love that song. It speaks to me.
Like her little gremlin voice, like it's what first really, really made me notice Faraday. And she is such an amazing person. And we really dig into how she started singing about motherhood, especially funny songs about motherhood. She's a musician and comedian best known for her comedic songs about motherhood and the mental load. She's recently become quite the internet sensation with her viral song, You're Such a Good Dad, and has been featured on the Today Show. Faraday uses her music to help moms feel seen, and she resides in Canada with her family. So we hope you enjoy our interview with Faraday.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Welcome, Faraday, to our podcast. We are so excited to have you here.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Let's chat.
Yes, let's chat. I am really curious about your story because you have these great videos, the Make a List video. Oh my gosh, so great. And the voice you do that, like, it just got me. It got me all the places. As well as just your singing ability and your music style and the ability. I've always seen it as a magic act when people can make up a song and play it and then sing along to it like magic, always. So it's magic. So it really fascinates me. So let's start out. You live in Canada.
I live in Saskatchewan, Canada, which if people know where Vancouver and Toronto is, it's like in the middle. So it's like truly in the middle of nowhere.
Is that like city? Is it? I've never really don't know much about
Saskatchewan. It's like above Montana and North Dakota. And we have like similar, okay. If you know what Montana and South and North Dakota are like, that's kind of like what it's like.
Okay. Here. And have you lived there your whole life?
Yeah, pretty much. I traveled. I never thought I'd live here, but my mom lives here. And when you have children, for me, I have a really supportive parent. So I was like, we're never leaving my mother because we need childcare.
That's a smart thing to do. Yes. Yeah. I don't think me leaving my parents was the best idea on my fair part. Enough. Even though they're like an hour and a half away. So how did you get started in music?
Well, so my dad was a musician, so I grew up like coming out the womb being like, I'm a singer. I'm going to be a superstar. So I like pursued music my whole life. And my dad took me on the road as a kid, like just like very much like a local kind of group. And so I started making albums and writing songs from a pretty young age. And I had achieved a pretty like good, like not like, I'm not Drake of Canada, but I had a group that was part of an all-girl group called Rosie and the Riveters. And it was like about 9 years we were in that. I did that band. I'd done like solo stuff and then I started that band. And then we did pretty well. Like we traveled the world, you know, we made it on US folk charts. It's hard to be an independent musician. Like we were self-managed, self-taught. So that level of success is pretty good. But I was a mom and I became a mom while I was in the band. And actually it's interesting. Like I always thought, I kept thinking I'm going to give up music when I'm 23. I'm going to give up music when I'm 27. I'm going to give up music when I have a kid. It's like the older I got and after becoming a mom is like when more of my career took off. And so I couldn't leave. I just felt like I wasn't ready to leave my music career just because I was a mom. Because sometimes that's kind of, I'm not sure what it's like in other careers, but like your life is, I definitely feel it. Like there's ideas like that your life is over once you become a mom.
Yeah, it's like that in other careers too. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I was like, I am unwilling. So then I like took an infant on the road with me, which you can imagine is a horrible idea.
It would be hard.
Yeah. Just like, what's horrible? Like those first years are hard. And then let's put yourself like on the road with no support. And so I did that. And then, you know, as she got a little older, I didn't take her on the road because she was a little too old. And then I kind of realized like, hey, I'm approaching 40. I'm on the road 100 days a year. I'm like, this is like a fourth of my kid's life. Yeah. Like, I just can't do this. Like, I just couldn't see a life for myself as a musician. It was too hard. It was too hard. Yeah. And it was too hard. I was like, I'd pay any price, but not this high. Yeah. It's like the cost is too high. But it's like having two dreams in one. Like I have a dream of a career and I have a dream of being a mom, but like the other one is like, I'm a mom and this is the bigger dream of the two. So I walked away thinking like that my music career is over. I do not know what I'm going to do. This is just at the height of my abilities. I'm like having to be like Sia. Do you know what I mean? Like Sia, like she didn't make it until she covered her face because she was 32. Do you know what I mean?
That's interesting.
That's
yeah, that's funny.
Take that, patriarchy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there was just no future for me. And right at the time I decided to leave this group that I had dedicated almost 10 years of my life to, pandemic happened. So I was like staying at home parent. Mm-hmm. What, you know, like actually truly my greatest fear. I was always afraid of becoming a stay-at-home parent because I knew psychologically it's so difficult.
Oh, definitely. During the pandemic, were your bandmates then who you just left, but were they thrust into the staying at home role as well? Or did
they didn't have children. So they were still thrust into like their own fear and their own stuff. But like when you break up with a band, you've just destroyed their dreams too. Like, is you know what I mean? Like, they're like, oh, okay. I think they understood. But you know, it was a really challenging time. And then of course they were dealing with their own stuff. But yeah. So then the only thing I wanted to do was create content. I was like, this seems like fun. And then, you know what? It's surprising how long it took me to decide to write funny songs for the internet. Like it took me 2 years. And then, like once I did it, I was like, oh, that's so obvious.
What were you creating before you decided to write funny songs?
I was trying to tell, like, I knew that I had a talent to entertain. Like, I mean, that's like my life is like performing. It's for making people laugh, maybe making people cry. I was like, maybe I will do that online. Maybe that's how I could do this. Like maybe, because I still have that skill. And so let's try that. And it was like going okay, but not great. Like I told stories, I made funny content, like the funny content did better. And then after like 2 years of creating content, I was like, okay, well, it's not going great. Like maybe I'm just not that good. And funny content's doing well. Like maybe I need to learn about comedy. That's what I did with music. I learned about music. So like, let's go take some classes. So I like learned a lot more about comedy. And then I realized in the classes that like people who do well at comedy, they bring everything that they can do. If they're good actors, they do acting. If they're, you know, like they don't leave parts of themselves at the door. And because I had been like so done with music, I like really left it at the door. And so like then, and as a female musician, you're told not to write about motherhood.
Really?
Absolutely.
Why? What's the story behind that?
Oh, because it's like extremely uncool.
Oh, God. It doesn't go in the vibe.
Yeah. A man can get away with kind of saying that he's a dad, but a woman cannot. If you think about it, what songs about motherhood do you know?
Yeah, I don't, but I can automatically pick up Andy Grammer's song he wrote about fatherhood.
You are such a good dad. Totally. I have that one on motherhood.
Yeah, exactly. Well, in my class, they were like, we want you to write about motherhood. And I was like, no. I'm not doing the cardinal role of song, like of writing. You don't do that. And so once I did do it, I was like, oh my goodness, I have so much to say. Here's 7 years of my life that I have completely not reviewed, not mined for the gems. That's what musicians do. They mine their experiences to reflect to other people.
Yeah.
And so once I started doing it, it was like, oh, it's very obvious. I should have been like writing about motherhood. I should have been like combining comedy with music. And then once I wrote You Are Such a Good Dad, I did not think it was very good. I shared it online. It went off. And I was like, okay, so we need to like just write more songs. Yeah. We just need to keep writing more songs. So the thing about my songs is that they're not all about my own life. I feel like it's not just about me. It's about everybody's experience. So I like ask my Instagram followers like what I should write about and what's annoying them. And I often like will be like stuck on a song and I'll ask my followers, you know, what's the most annoying part about laundry to you? And then I'll like, it'll change how I write the song. Because as a musician who was like more not in the comedy frame, I wrote about my personal experiences, but like now I'm here to serve. Yeah. Right? I think mothers are just like, we're not represented in music. We're not represented in movies. We're not in books. So all I want to do is represent the lives of people who are like invisible. There's a reason why that labor is invisible. Mothers in general are invisible. And it's not, I don't like, some of it's mine, but some of it is also like about my friends or their lives.
Yeah. You're getting the collective of motherhood and womanhood together there.
Exactly.
I'm interested in hearing the story behind You're Such a Good Dad, and we'll get into it right after this.
Hey, all, it is Joanne.
And Bree here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explained. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explained, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode. And all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting Podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.
You said your first really foray into this singing about motherhood and making it comedic was You're Such a Good Dad. How did that song come into being?
You know, people in my comedy class, they're like, what's the hardest part about being a mom? And I was like, the hardest part about being a mom is watching everybody praise your husband for pushing a stroller. And it's not like he's pushing a stroller. He's not like saving the life of a human being.
He's not doing brain surgery. No, no,
It's the bare minimum. And yet, strangers are...
Here's the expectations for a mob. Do you see a difference?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really funny. Like, my husband always says that too about doing the bare minimum. And he actually comes to me like jokingly for praise. He's like, honey, I did the bare minimum. Thank me.
I could see him with that face too.
Yes.
And my husband understood it too. He'd be like, people just, he's like, I am a god now. He's just like, he had a baby and he like strapped it to, you know, him, his stomach, and he went for a walk in our community. Like, he was just like, people are just,
love me.
Talking to me. I mean, in some ways it's a beautiful thing because a man without a child is also considered a predator, right? Like, I'd be like, look at this beautiful baby. He's like, I can't look at a baby. What are you talking about? But now he has like a wedding ring and now he has a child. He can go to parks and he can go to, and so I can understand like, that's beautiful and stuff like that. But yeah. So that's where that idea, I wanted to like paint the picture of all the things a mother does in the day and then the very bare minimum a man does and then his praise for it.
And I just have to say, I love the part too about like, and then your mother came over and she was like, you're such a good dad. How many of us have wanted to strangle our mother-in-law when our spouse did the bare minimum and they were like, oh God, you're so fantastic. And you're like, really? Now I know where the standards came from. Now I know.
Oh my gosh. No, I get this from my own mom, actually. My own mom comes and prays my husband. And she's like, oh my gosh, you have such a supportive husband. And I know it's a personal thing. I totally know. But I'm like, this is what's supposed to happen. It ties back to those things where when you say like your husband is supportive or your husband does chores around the house or your husband actually like does stuff with the kids, like he's not just a babysitter, you get the reaction, oh, like you're so lucky. And it's supposed to be a luck thing rather than this is expected of men. Like, we need to expect this in society.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it becomes hard. So you had, you're such a good dad and it blew up. And what did you see from that?
Well, I just I slowly saw my accounts grow, and not that it like really took off in that moment. Like it did, it slowly grew over time. What I realized was like, I had been looking for the clarity of what am I doing? Yeah. What's my next path? What was I doing? And then it was like so obvious. I was like, oh, I see. This is what I do now. And also, as a comedian, you can age in a way that like musicians aren't allowed to.
Unless they're men.
Yeah, unless you're a man, then you're allowed to do anything you want and get as old as you want. And you can say whatever you want and it's all good.
Nobody's upset like Chris Stapleton with his like huge beard made it when he was like in his 40s. Like nobody, it's fine. Nobody was like, oh dear, way past prime. Oh, you know, so I was just like, this is an audience I can serve. This is a story I can tell. And also like, I know how to write songs. Like that's what I've been doing my whole life. I can do that again. And it requires like a certain kind of humility to be like, I'm going to serve others with my songs. Like it's not about serving myself and my story. So once I had that clarity, I just knew the path to take. Like no business no career is made like in one video. Mm-hmm. While it certainly made a difference, mostly it provided clarity for me about like, this is my path now. And then, so I, you know, and one song doesn't make a body of work. I had to spend like the next year writing as many songs as I could to make an album, to make like a continued narrative about motherhood and what it's like.
Yeah. And so you had your album come out, right?
Yeah.
It's come out or it's coming out. It's come out.
In October. Yeah.
Came out in October. And tell us about it.
It's called The Mother Load, and it just explores all these things that we have about motherhood, whether it's like parenting, body image, like marital stuff, like the division of labor, kind of just like, I just wanted to like, once I put it all together, I was like, oh, this is like a narrative, like a cohesive story about what it's like parenting right now, a snapshot. And like, it's done quite well. I wasn't sure I'd put together an album. Like that's very much like a musician thing to do, not necessarily like an internet creator thing to do. But once I did it, I was like, oh, this was a wise choice just because people can listen to a whole album and then, and it explores different genres. I tried more disco music and pop music and rap and folk, and just like, I experimented a lot more than as a musician, you're one of the other things that you need to keep to is a cohesive genre. Generally, you just don't see somebody moving around a lot because packaging wise, you need to stay in a certain, but of course the packaging wise, it was motherhood. So I didn't have to stay in a lane. So that was really fun just to be like, all right, let's see what discotheque's going to be like, you know?
That's fun. That is really fun.
Was that one of your favorites or no?
Oh, they were all really? My favorite. I just
they're all your children.
Come on, we all have a favorite kid. We just don't admit it out loud. Oh, is that just me? Or just me? Yeah. I'm joking to my children that probably will listen to this at some point in their lives. Not now because they're teens and they're too cool, but
it's true. Make a list. You say you take stuff collectively. Was this based on collective stuff or was this personal experience?
Oh, no, this was a collective one. Like I'm blessed to have a partner who, like, going into motherhood and even going into the marriage, I saw the patterns out in the world. And I was like, mm-hmm. If we get married, you are not abandoning me. I see people whose husbands are golfing on the weekends, who are playing video games at night, who are like dropping out.
I was a weekend mm-hmm. widow. Mine would spend 8 hours watching football at a bar.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Ex-husband. So obviously like, ex.
Conversations, not saying that like when we had a child, of course, he had no idea how little mm-hmm. he was doing. And that's the challenge is that like, you know, sometimes people comment on my videos, like you should leave him, divorce him. And I'm like, well, firstly, that's not, I would not be ever write these songs in the heat of that, like in the heat of having a new child. Like you can't write that kind of song until you're out of it, until your marriage has evolved and changed. And sadly, you're like having a baby, your world is on fire. Your marriage is kind of falling apart. I don't know many people who's like, that first year that they're not like, are we going to make it? And then you have to go on a journey together to build understanding and not just like his understanding, mine too. Like at mm-hmm. the end of the day, you'd be like, what did you do? I was like, nothing. But it's like, I actually cleaned the house 3 times and it still looks like a bomb went off and I kept the child alive and I couldn't sleep and blah, blah, blah. And that work was also invisible to me. So like having the ability to have language to talk about what's going on, how to build understanding, that takes time. So I think it was just like, so with Make a List, like my husband is not the kind of person who he would understand that labor, like that wouldn't make sense. But that is also just like, I wanted to talk about how that is really common. And it's also like very classic marital advice that people receive with the division. And I wanted to paint a picture as to like, number one, how I was trying to figure out how do you talk about how like how out of date that idea is. Yeah, then just like the little gremlin inside of me was like, I also want to like a lot of times I feel like I'm representing feminine rage.
Exactly. That is what it was. I was like that rage. I think that so many of us, we feel it when it's happening. Joanne and I have been talking a lot about being stressed out and frustrated lately. Like
mad, angry.
You can feel all the feelings and it's like, stop asking me how to help. You're making it worse.
Well, it's like this outdated notion too of the honey-do list. And I know a lot of older men. I used to run with one who's like, yeah, it's my honey-do list for the weekend. And I'm like, tell me about this. What is this list that you have? It's crazy. It's outdated. It keeps the mental load squarely with us about thinking like what they have to do. But it's such a comedic way you deal with it.
Yeah. Also, my gift as a songwriter is to be able to put language to feelings that we have. Mm-hmm. So it's the same. It's the same thing here now versus a happy love song. It's like, as before, if I was like a new mom, I would feel angry, but I didn't know why.
Yeah.
Why does that feel like that isn't actually helping me? Because your first thought is like, that should help me. But you're like, no, that mental load stays on my thing. I'm still responsible. Mm-hmm. And it also creates a situation in which I'm your boss and I'm checking up on you. That's not a great dynamic for our marriage because personally, my husband's a very like rebellious man who is like, I do my own thing. Like, that's not going to go well in our marriage for me to be like, did you do this? He'll be like,
No, I have the same. Like my husband is very like he's a rebel as well. And I am a rebel. And when you put two rebels together, you really have to figure out how are you going to talk to each other when you need stuff done, but don't want to tell them what to do.
That's exactly it. Like he does not want to be told what to do. And I have no interest in telling him what to do. But obviously, we still need to figure this out. So yeah, that's where Make a List came from. And it's such a fun thing to perform. Because like, it's just not a voice you would use as a singer-songwriter. And then be like, what can I do? Or I have a metal song where I scream about my rage. And
I like that.
And like that one also is just like an interesting thing to vocally do. I've been a songwriter, a musician for 20 years. I've never been like, okay, Googling like screamo vocals, like how to do.
It's so fun, though. And what like a great way to like take those emotions and make it in a way that people can have fun and enjoy right. it. Like I said, I think it's a magic power. Like you have a magic superpower that you can set your feelings to music and it's enjoyable to hear. Because if I try to set my feelings to music, it would not work.
And one thing that like makes me very happy is that because I'm not in this place in my marriage and because it has this funny place to it, like behind it is not resentment. Right. Mm-hmm. Like I don't carry a lot of resentment. I think people can feel the lightness to the work I do. Mm-hmm. And then they send it to their partner or they take it. I have a lot of therapists who are like, your song was in my therapy session today. I wanted you to know that because actually it can lead to conversations that
yep.
can't when you're like in that throes with your partner and you're trying to get them to understand and like, they're just not hearing you. But it is like helpful to have this like other person being like, hey, here's this piece of content that's like just poking fun, being like, it can provide like another perspective and illuminate things without the conflict.
Right. Cause then it's like, it's not just you. Like this is such a big yeah. problem that people write songs right. about it. Here you go.
Exactly. It is not just our marriage and it's not just your fault. Yeah. It's like, exactly. It's like, this is a societal pattern that we're all part of. And it is our job to disentangle this so that we're better role models for our children. Yeah. The truth is, it's like marriages don't survive misogyny like that, mm-hmm. or they do, but like barely. Right. And that's what we're trying to untangle and clean and do better with.
100%. Yes, exactly. I couldn't agree more. We'll be right back after a quick break.
Oh, hey, everybody. It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory, two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it?
We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
So join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly,
wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking It. I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're Amy more of a, we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
What are you excited about that's coming up for you, Faraday?
Oh, well, I'm starting to do live performances with the show, like in person. And like, that is so fun because gathering a bunch of women together, a bunch of moms together to have a room where we all get to be together and have that like experience is so fun. And so that's really enjoyable. That's basically like what I'm working on right now is just, obviously I still need to make content and videos, but I really want to do more live shows because there's also like certain things you can't, with content online, there's mm-hmm. certain things you can't do. Like you can't always do like a slower song or a slow burn song because like it's such a quick place where you need to hit them in 30 seconds. Yeah. You can't build to a joke. And so there's new songs I can try that I like, they haven't found their place online, but they can in the live setting. Yeah. And also like in a live show, I don't have to, like one of the things about me is that I'm not a comedian. I'm not a comedian first. I'm still a musician first. And so I think that like comedy, it sets up pain and then it relieves it really quickly. Whereas a musician will set up pain and let you sit in that pain because it's healing. Yeah. It's healing to feel their feelings. And so in my content online, I do sometimes try and sprinkle in a part of myself that isn't just laughter. Because I think if any audience can travel with me from laughter into tenderness, into grief, in back into laughter again, into rage, you know, like it's a mother, yeah. right? Because that is motherhood, right? Like we have that kind of experience. And so that's the live show too, is that I want a mom to come to my show and just be like, every part of her was seen, not just like the funny parts, not just the rage, but also the intense love, the grief that we all feel, the pain, so that they just walk away feeling like whole, like every part of them was seen. And that's bringing me joy. And also a lot of stress dreams, honestly.
I would imagine.
I have these dreams where I like just show up with nothing prepared. And I'm just like, oh God.
Oh my gosh, I have stress dreams like that too. Yeah. My stress dream is always like I've signed up for a class in college and then it's the finals, but I forgot to go to class the entire semester. I had that all the time.
Me too. How is that a thing that multiple people have? I did not know that. Okay, so I'm going to put in a request on your locations, whatever, however you plan your live events of Phoenix, coming out to Phoenix. Okay. We are much warmer than your climate. We are. Like,
this would be a good time to come for sure.
Right now is a good time to come.
I think it's
come in like June. Stay away June, April.
April's wonderful.
And then come back.
Yes, anytime from like now through April is fantastic.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, our high today is 60. So that's pretty nice.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. Well, thank you so much for spending this time with us, Faraday.
Oh, it was a delight.
And you bring such a smile to my face. And now I need to go and listen to your entire album. So thank you again.
Thank you.
You know, the thing that Faraday said about songs being a way to talk about challenging issues is really true.
Right.
It's a way to bring up something that you know you're not alone anymore in it because somebody wrote a song about it.
Yeah. Like I love that part of like you're thinking about that. You're in couples therapy or you're having a disagreement and your spouse feels like you're telling them that they are a terrible person. And you're like, listen. There are things that I need, but you're not alone in the world. It's so much so that there are a million people listening to this song on Instagram right now. There's a whole album of the stress that we deal with. I feel like as women, sometimes we get gaslit.
All the time.
I'm trying to be gentle to their fragile feelings, but you know, I mean.
I'm not gentle. Men, man up. You don't have fragile. No. I'm kidding. See, therapist me to be gentle.
See, there you go. But I mean, it's like. We get told that we're being overly sensitive or that it's not as bad as we think it is. And it's like, no, it is. People write songs about it. It is. It's a collective
struggle. And the fact
struggle.
That like most of the time when I leave my husband alone with the kids for any significant amount of time, he is stressed out like beyond belief when I return. And it's not anything to do with, oh, men just get so stressed out. No, that is the actual feeling that we as women have dealt with every single day. And we've just kind of learned to stuff it down, don't feel the feelings, and just go on with it.
We're allowed to feel the feelings, but in private, where nobody else has to see us cry.
Yeah. It's like crying, emotional, yes, but so is anger. And men get angry all the time. I was at the entertainment field at the agency that I worked at, Endeavor, and it would be a frequent thing to hear like a male agent screaming from his office at his assistant and all these curse words being flung around, and he was never called emotional, even though that's what he was. He was emotional, and that's accepted, and yet it's not accepted for women to cry still 20 years later.
Right. It's a struggle. I love that there is a humorous, fun, whimsical, musical soundtrack to our experiences as a typical mom or a typical spouse, as a typical woman and a family these days, whatever your family looks like, because there are a lot of struggles that we don't talk about. And she brought up a really good point in her interview. She's like, how many songs can you think of that talk about what it's like to be a mother? And I'm like, no, you're right. No, not really any.
There's one Rachel Platten song that I think would be really good as a mother, but I don't know if that's what she wrote it for. It was I'll Stand By You. No, that's Pretenders.
So are you thinking about the Pretenders song or is it a different song?
It is song I'll Stand By You, but the lyrics I'm thinking of are the Pretenders song.
Okay.
It's the Pretenders song.
Yeah.
The I'll Stand By You. Like, that's probably not about, but it could be about.
But, you know, I didn't see that as kids. Like, I remember my, I don't know what I'm going to say, eighth grade self, but I think I was probably in high school, like when that song came out. I remember thinking to myself, that's a perfect boyfriend. So I'm not sure.
We'll let nobody hurt you. Oh, yeah, that's not like, but that's a woman. It was Chrissy Hynde singing it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just saying that's a perfect song. Like, it's singing about a perfect partner to me.
See, oh,
to me.
That's interesting.
That was me. But no. I had a romantic mindset. We know this. Bree thought that the Breakfast Club was going to be a thing in life.
Yeah.
I believe John Hughes. Damn it.
Yeah, there isn't really anything though about being a mother, and like it's not acceptable because like the Andy Grammer song I was thinking of, yeah. It was like one of his songs is, you know, you were born and there was glory or whatever. And it's such a sweet song, but there is nothing about a woman having a baby song. I can't think of a single one.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's just because, again, there's so much to it. What I love about Faraday's music is, again, that she brings the stuff that we don't talk about as much, mm-hmm. that like we chat about with our girlfriends, you know, but we don't talk about in open society as much about the frustrations, especially about the double standard of like where dad's bar is down here at the bottom of my screen and mom's bar is above my head. And if I don't hit that, then I'm a crappy mom. But if you just slightly lift your toe to move over this bar, you're fantastic dad and done a million things. That's great.
Well, I think that's the same for like women and men too, because the Barbie movie.
Oh, yeah.
The Barbie movie. And that made so many people upset because it hit on a truth that this is how our society really is. And no women watching that movie were surprised about the way Barbie was treated in the real world. That's pretty standard. But contrasting that with the way Barbie Land was, with everyone being so supportive of each other and not having to worry about being sexually hit on or anything like that, it was total sadness when Barbie went from that world to the real world. And so those kind of things, they weigh heavy. They need to be brought out and talked about more.
Yeah, for sure. It's tough. So yeah. Well, that was fantastic. Well, go out. You need to like go on, check out Faraday's album. It is The Motherlode. It is fantastic. Check her out on Instagram. We have links to everything below. Give her some love.
Until next time, remember, the best mom's a happy mom. Take care of you. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.